Here it comes, the latest people, trends, and news on sustainable living in and around our corner of the country. Down to Earth with Mrs. Green, Spotlight on the Southwest. And now, Mrs. Green.
Hello, everyone. You are listening to Down to Earth with Mrs. Green. I, in fact, am Mrs. Green. Thank you for joining me tonight. And I, of course, have to say that it would be very hard to imagine having any kind of show within 1 week of the tragedy at Sandy Hook Elementary School in Connecticut and not really tie our show in with that. So to me, it was very serendipitous, very fitting that this show was scheduled before the tragedy and that it is so fitting to have with me in studio Stacy Sires, who's the president of EDG, which stands for Environmental Development Group, headquartered right here in Tucson. And she is going to be talking about a very important concept for now and for all of us to listen to, because I think it very much ties in with being a good steward of the community, caring about the community, and we're going to be talking about paying it forward. So Stacy, happy to have you with me here tonight. It's
Thank
a great
you for having me.
Great. Really great tie-in, because I mean, there's a heaviness in everybody's voice that you meet, and you just say, how are you doing? And you say, fine. And people say, really? Because I don't think as a nation we are fine. It won't be for a while, but we have to go on and give people hope for the future. And to me, this show was so fitting because it is about hope and it is about paying it forward. And let me just quickly mention to follow Mrs. Green on Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, and Instagram, all of which can be done by visiting my website at mrsgreensworld.com. And then you can stay in touch with things like this: great shows, great guests, great stories about people doing wonderful things for the planet in every area that you can imagine. So let's get on with the show and start with the basics. And I think, even though you have been a guest on Mrs. Green's World before, tell us about what EDG does and what that stands for, Environmental Development Group, because you're doing good things for the planet just by the very nature of the work you do.
Well, Environmental Development Group is a facilities maintenance company, and we started in construction and expanded from there just based on our customers' needs. I also own a company called EDG Fuels. So Fuels actually is the green arm, so to speak, of EDG. We have a biodiesel plant. We collect waste and recycle and renew it. Not just brown grease from restaurants, but yellow grease, which can be manufactured into biodiesel. So, and we've also always offered alternatives to our customers as far as, being proactive with sustainability when sustainability wasn't even in everyone's vocabulary. So, and that was really driven by not just ourselves, but by our customer base. They required it. Mostly we handle big box retail, but, you know, we do handle some small projects as well in Tucson. And it's been a great journey.
And it's interesting to me because I know with my research with Mrs. Green, it's the big businesses that can move the needle forward rather quickly. So it's really important. And I want to ask you this, and I don't think I ever have, is one of the reasons why it was customer driven, isn't there really and truly a triple bottom line where you can conserve energy, conserve water, conserve resources, and also it saves you money and it does really good things for the planet? Because a lot of companies, it is bottom line driven. That's what they have to do to stay in business. And if you're saving on your water bill every month and it's, you know, $6,000 a month because of all your facilities, just saving 10% of that can make a difference in your bottom line.
I agree. I do think, though, that our customers that came to us, that it was a combination. I really think that they were interested in doing the right thing, and that was a benefit of it.
That's
because
awesome.
At that time, I mean, that was almost a decade ago when they brought us into that room and said, listen, if you don't want to follow this plan or have this vision, then you're welcome to go to the door. But this is what we want to do because we believe that it's not just the right thing to do. It's also in our best interest because it's profitable. And you are right. It is driven by that. But I don't believe that was at the forefront of their decision.
Well, that's really very encouraging for me to hear as well. I mean, it is. It's great to know because there are companies that were the torchbearers for change way back before it became an in good word to have and the branding really mattered. So I think it's really very encouraging for me to know, and we're all looking for encouragement. So let's talk about the concept of paying it forward. You get to pick the topics as a sponsor of Mrs. Green's World about what you want to talk about. And I can do my personal comment about the really pace of the leader, pace of the team in terms of corporate cultures, because I really do believe that. It's not what you mandate, it's what you're doing in your own life that employees see, just like your own family. So talk about the concept of paying it forward and why you decided to embrace it quite some time ago with your company and being good stewards of the communities in which you operate.
Well, now formally, our program is called Pay It Forward. But since the inception of the company, we've just always practiced community service. And I think it probably just comes from my upbringing and things that, you know, we always did, not on a grand scale, you know.
But it doesn't matter. The seeds were planted. And that's
right.
No matter how little or how much you can do, it makes a difference.
Yeah, so I really think that that's where it came from. And then when I was in college, I was actually in a sorority that I happened to get an office where I was in charge of all the philanthropy. And
it was in the cards, kiddo.
Yeah, and so once cards. I started that, you know, and I saw how big that was and how much fun it was, because of course I was of college age, it was like, wow, we can do something good and it can be incredible. And then I think I just followed through on that. And so when the company started to do well, it wasn't even doing well probably at the time in comparison to where it is now.
Right.
We always practiced that. And I think when I had children too, I wanted to pass that on. So, you know, I was telling you earlier about, you know, our first Christmas that we ever practiced. And really we started with Christmas because that's a no-brainer. It's like Christmas time, you know, sharing humanity with others. And, you know, bringing my own children to somebody's house where, you know, a three-year-old had never seen a Christmas tree, and my children realizing that, wow, these people don't live very far from us. They're in our own community. And why don't they have those things? You know, that's a different thing to explain to a child that's, you know, 5 years old. But, you know, they become accustomed to doing these things and helping people out. And, you know, now that same child, he's getting ready to go to college, doing his college applications. And, you know, I said, well, why don't you write about community service and what you did for Pay It Forward? And he was like, well, is that really a topic that people want to hear about? Well, of course, but it's second nature to him.
Yes, yes.
So, and people in our company as well. You know, the Pay It Forward and the formalization of that whole program basically came a couple of years ago when the company, you know, everybody, the business climate has really changed. And so our company was going through tough times. And I said to everybody, listen, this year we're not going to do a Christmas party. What I want to do is I want to focus every week of December on something that we can do for others, whether it be big or small, you know, company supported or individually supported. And that's how it started. So
how do you pick the charities? Because those are partnerships. And I've been involved in some of the on-site things that you've done, and you've done them with huge charities like Goodwill Industries, and then smaller charities where you're delivering just delivering poinsettias or flowers to a home for seniors that is waiting for life to come through the door.
We asked for suggestions. That's basically how we started. So, you know, asked the group of people that were involved what their suggestions would be, kind of threw those around and decided not just based on the organization, but what we had as far as a company to give to that organization. So, you know, Goodwill, we basically went through a bunch of inventory we'd had for 10 years, and we had offices that had downsized, and we had
right.
furniture. So we were able to give that to Goodwill and then took collections from employees and other people we knew.
And we had fun that day. That's
yeah.
the thing that you said
They're
about having
fun.
And then we went on a tour of Goodwill, and my jaw dropped because I hadn't seen the full circle of life at Goodwill. They don't waste anything. And then they turn the money into jobs in social services for unemployed people, for at-risk populations, and for disabled. It's an unbelievable, thorough organization in terms of the way that they give back. So it really is the circle. So Goodwill is one example. And then then give us a couple of other feel-good stories, which I think everybody can use right now and needs to connect with right now. And even between now and Christmas can inspire them to go out and do just one little thing because it makes you feel so good.
Right. Another activity that we had last year was we actually all went and cooked lunch at Ronald McDonald House. And then they invited us back to also do some decorating at Christmas. So that was something where we were preparing a menu, you know, found out what families were there at Ronald McDonald at that time, prepared the meal, joined them for a meal, and then, you know, went back and decorated later. So that was one of the activities that we did last year. This year, we got started a little bit late because business has been booming this year. So,
which is really great to hear. We like that.
Yeah, so us too. So we decided to do Thanksgiving baskets, and we just got information from a church that said that they were supporting a middle school that was in the area, and basically just met up and got an assembly line going, and they loved it because the population, the demographic of the church is older, so they really enjoyed having, you know, younger people in there. We took charge. We did an assembly line. We put these 100 baskets together, I think, in less than an hour.
In nanoseconds for
yeah,
them, organization.
And then we were ready to deliver them.
And did you and your staff actually deliver them to homes?
Yes. We brought 3 cars ourselves. So, you know, basically we signed up, and we actually gave a monetary donation as well. That came from employees. So, and that wasn't anything that was required. It just happened to come about. So, but yeah, we delivered them ourselves, and I was one of the drivers. And, you know, to be able to be with employees and experience that, I just think that really gives you a snapshot into who people are. Because, you know, I've been in business a long time, and when I interview people and they're on the other side of the desk, I'm very intuitive about who they are as a person generally. But it's always a reminder to go out there and see employees who are your friends and your other family, you know, interact with people that are in need. So, and there's nothing better than, you know, to go to somebody's house and have a bag of groceries.
And there's a lot of lonely people out there. I mean, we're going to have Jeanette Murray from Ben's Bells on Saturday. We changed our regularly scheduled show because of what happened at Sandy Hook Elementary. Because as a person, as a human being, as a very transparent human being, in terms of my emotions, we had to do a show meaningful about the healing. And so she's going to be on. And one of the things that she shared with us is that statistically, 1 in 4 Americans are disconnected or isolated. It's part of our aging population. I mean, it's all part of it. So doing that little bit of sunshine that you can bring into their lives. Did you want to stay a lot at each house? That's what I'd want to do. I would only need a couple of houses because I'd be staying all day.
It just depends. I mean, you get a measure. The houses that we went to, interestingly enough, the women were at work and the men were at home. So I don't know why, but the gentlemen were there. And, you know, sometimes I think they're a little bit uncomfortable with that.
Right.
You know, it was a couple of women coming to the door delivering something, you know, and they said, you know, but very thankful, you know.
It is different. It could be awkward a little bit.
Yeah.
I know. I really do understand that. Now, I want to go back to the employee participation part. With you, is it all, do you just leave it up to them if they want to participate or not? And then do they get time off for that?
I always leave it up to them. And I'm a true believer in everything that we do. I mean, I don't want to force anybody to do anything.
Force giving seems kind of counterintuitive.
Yeah.
It's like,
yeah. So
either get on board
and
or you can
means,
stay at work.
You know, when I ask for anything at work, I want people to do things from their heart and not because they feel like they're being forced or coerced or whatever. But I've never had any trouble finding volunteers. I think that I've only had one person that didn't want to go. When we did the Gym Click after school program at one of the centers.
Boys and Girls Club?
At the Boys and Girls Club.
Right.
And that didn't want to go. And after I said, come on, you need to go. And he ended up going. But then after he told us a story about, you know, that he had had some trouble when he was younger and it was very difficult for him to go and to a place like that and see kids that really were lonely and needed adults and needed some attention. So that was a positive that came out of a situation like that. But it's always volunteer. The ideas are done by, you know, a group of people. That's just the way that I've always wanted
it. And it's the way it should be, because mandatory is just, it doesn't fit
right.
at all.
And as far as time off, they're paid for that time. So basically, it just counts as the workday. So they're not, I don't deduct anything. I just figure that, you know, that's part of what we're doing, and I want them to do it. And, I guess they could stay in the office and work, but, you know, they want to go and help people, and it's of such great value.
Now, the story about the baskets, we were talking off air. You guys did such a good job that they asked you to come back. So what's the second part to that story? I mean, it's the gift that keeps on giving.
The second part, well, they asked us if we could come about 30 minutes early this time because there was more baskets and we did such a great job. And then there are other regular people that come in, will come in a little bit later, and then they can just grab the baskets and put them in their car to deliver. So
for Christmas.
But we did. I mean, in our business, I mean, you know, partially part of our business because we handle a high volume of calls. It's a call center, you know, for lack of a better word. So, you know, we're handling multiple calls and we work together all day long. So you get 10 people that are used to picking up the phone, placing orders, da, da, da. And here we are. We come in and they're like, okay, the hamburger's here, the chicken is here.
Right into mode, work mode.
Yeah. And so you handle, you know, baskets 1 through 5 and that's just what we did. And
it's,
I guess it's my fault because I ask for forgiveness, never permission. So the minute I saw what the list was, I was like, okay, here we go. This is what we're doing.
I know. I think it's a good way to live, actually. We're the early adopters. What about the reaction from the business community? To me, you know, I don't want to talk too much. I listened to one of my shows the other day, and it's like, the show is really about you. But one of the things that I can't help but observe is that you're doing it and you're being an example to your employees and then to your family because they see it and it's ingrained in them. What kind of other example do you see that you are to the business community? Are they taking note? Because to me, these kind of partnerships could help change the fabric of our country if there was a mindset of giving back that was incorporated into the culture. And lots of businesses do. I understand that. But maybe not at the level of giving their employees. It doesn't count as, you know, their time off. TEP is a great example. Mm-hmm. I mean, they allow their staff to do unbelievable things and do thousands and thousands of volunteer hours and projects. So there are good stewards. What kind of effect do you think you've had on other businesses or accolades or recognition? Because it does matter.
To me, the reaction that I see mostly is surprise. I mean, there are companies out there that do it, but they're usually the larger companies with the larger payrolls. And it's very unusual to have a company on a smaller scale that will actually do something like this. So that's my reaction. So that, you know, when we do put that information out there, I get a lot of positive feedback from people saying, wow, you should be really proud of yourselves that you do that. But I don't think of it like that. It's just part of who we are.
I wonder sometimes if it goes back to the recipients, the nonprofits helping, using this as a model to even teach other businesses, because sometimes the businesses are so busy doing their business, they don't think about it. And my moniker is support locally owned businesses. People are so tired of hearing me say that. But another example, you know, I'm friends with Kathy and Marshall from Temco Air. They are a small company. The things they do, they're always collecting for every kind of, you know, giving opportunity, not just at Christmas, but Kathy is like she's like the little angel of Tucson, collecting from every group that she's in. If you're in a group with her, you know that you're going to be hit up. And in a way, it makes it giving easier. Because she has a company and she has a venue, it makes it easier for me to say, here's a gift card to Target. And then she goes and buys all of the wonderful things for the kids based on a list she got from a nonprofit.
Right. No, and that's similar, you know, but I think that one of the things, and I'm sure that she does this as well, is that, you know, it's one thing to collect, but it's like another thing when you're involved in it.
Connect.
You know,
it's one thing to collect. It's another thing
to connect.
Maybe we can write that down and it could be a little phrase that we start.
And I don't know. I just see such huge value. I mean, everything, of course, I'm business minded. So I always see things from that other perspective. And yes, it's humanitarian. But two, it does so much for the life of your business, no matter what's going on. You know, no matter if things are positive or negative or, you know, it's a holiday or, you know, somebody walks in the door and, you know, they just got in a fight with their husband and guess what? We're going to go do pay it forward no matter what. And it really helps you put things in perspective.
Yes.
You know?
I don't feel like paying. paying it forward. I feel like punching the wall.
Well, I haven't quite got
but
that.
But it shifts the energy. Shifts the energy. Definitely. It really does. It really does. 100-fold.
Yeah.
Now, what about, you gave some examples of the things you do. I think one of the challenges you face, and I don't know because I'm not you, is when you have, I've had the experience of owning a large company in multiple states, and it's very hard to kind of inoculate or something, inject that giving when you're not physically present. So how do you do that having multiple locations? Is it much more of a challenge, or do you find a light bearer there that carries your torch, or
sometimes,
what do you do?
Sometimes it is a challenge, but I'm very fortunate that the people that are at the other locations also worked at the New Mexico and Arizona locations before they branched out.
So they got to see it in action.
Yes, so they've got to see it in action. And they're a little bit slower as far as, like, you know, Tucson, because I'm here and I'm located here. You know, we do things.
And you,
like,
do everything in nanoseconds.
Yes. And I know that last year it was like the charity that, and actually sometimes we don't even work with a charity. It's just like we find somebody on our own. But there was a homeless shelter in Riverside, California that our office there found. And basically they are a landscaping division. So they needed landscaping done at the homeless shelter for children, teenagers. And so they basically put together, you know, a project and asked if the kids could help. And they ended up doing that there. So everybody, I mean, it's a variety of things. It's not anything that's a set program. It's like, what do you feel like doing? What do you think you have to offer? And that's probably the most exciting thing besides, you know, just going out with the employees is seeing the field employees, because typically they don't get to experience something like this. You know, the office staff has more time available, but I know them going out, and when I've gone out with them, to see the tears in their eyes, you know, when they're doing whatever, delivering a Christmas tree, or, you know, having a teen thank them for something that they did is really incredible.
And the whole concept of Pay It Forward that caught fire with that movie, I don't even know if it was a book, but was about giving from the heart, giving from things that you might not even have, but giving it to the next person so that they can give it to the next person, then they can give it to the next person. And it's really fun. Like, it's really fun to buy a Starbucks for the person behind you. It's fun. It's a $4 thrill or $5 thrill. And those little things to me add up to, I have in my book, Small Steps, Big Impact, that will be published in 2013, but it is, you know, it's there. But I want to encourage people that are listening and that download this podcast to realize there is no effort too small. If you can give 1 hour a month, what a difference it can make to an agency or to touching a human being. And to me, it's interesting about the spectrum, because now that I'm getting older, maybe I'm seeing more people that are isolated in this end of the life. Whereas when I worked in my, you know, with at-risk children, you saw a lot of kids that had needs. So in our country, both populations are growing. The number of at-risk kids are growing because of poverty and the economic times, and the number of elderly is the baby boomers. We're all getting old, and the isolation factor is so important.
Right. I think that technology has done a little its part in that too. But I think that, you know, we adapt and change so well. We'll get that all together, you know, and
everything. What a message of hope it is. I agree. Yeah. I live with it. Today's a good day, and tomorrow we have things coming. And with this, what happened at Sandy Hook, there are things we have to hold on to and keep going for the sake of the children. It has to be, how do we go about the healing and not the blaming? To me, it's like shifting and go out and doing something that makes you feel good, that's an effort to your community. It's just, to me, unbelievable. What about the, do you have a crystal ball and some of the things that you think you'd like to do for 2013? And how are you going to go about that? We do want to mention the pajama party, which is not part of the giving, but it is part of the fun that
so
you
like
have.
So you're talking about our
wear your pajamas to work today.
Yeah,
we're telling,
culture.
There are no secrets here at Mrs. Green's
no,
World.
No, there aren't. Actually, I haven't even thought about that yet. We're trying to plan our, and this was actually part of Pay It Forward last year, because we didn't do our Christmas party and we did Pay It Forward those months before the holiday, that in January we actually had a casino party. So, and the employees came to my house and we had, you know, table games, and so we're trying to put that together for this year. And so that's something exciting that
so
we have going
on. It's really a corporate culture of fun, too. And that, to me, is don't forget the fun factor, people, because you work a lot of hours in a day. So
right.
Let's,
and it's very stressful where we work. I mean, I know that as the owner of the business, it's always stressful for the owner. But I think that my employees, I mean, they do such a fabulous job of filling in the blanks wherever they need to. I know that, you know, a couple of weeks ago, I sent out an email and I said, you know, you guys, it's like if I'm not in the office or not there readily available, nothing stops. It just keeps clicking. So, you know, I think that that stress level is there. And you need to, if you're going to work hard, you got to play hard. And that's always been our
I've
motto.
Lived by that rule my entire life, and it has held me in good stead because you have to. It's all about the balance.
Right.
Especially now. What about, can you talk a little bit more about, I like the pebble and the pond analogy about as much as anything that I can think of that's so timeless. When you throw the pebble in the pond, there's a ripple effect. What do your kids see, your own children see? And you mentioned your son thinking it's second nature. What did you do as a parent to involve them in the process? Because some people say, oh, they don't need to see that. They're too young. To me, that's you can never be too young to learn about giving. So you just involve them on the journey.
I just always brought them wherever, you know, we
did
were
the
going.
Same thing. Yep.
So they were always part of it. I, you know, as they got older, it was a little bit more difficult because they had their activities. But then I happened to choose schools that they actually, you know, participated in it as well. So, and I don't think that they ever separated that. It was just part of their life. And I'm hoping, and I know that, you know, they'll continue on in their own small way and whatever they do, but they don't think any different of it. It's not something that's a huge event because it's just always been. And I guess that's maybe pay it forward too. I mean, when that time comes around, it's not like everybody's jumping up and down about, you know, hey, we got to get, it's just something that happens and it's part of who we are.
It's part of the core of their being. And that's what you want. I know I was saying to you when my kids left the house, they left home and they were on their own. And I would find out things on their Facebook pages, which is not without stalking them. I am not a mom Facebook stalker, but I would see a post on my wall where they were collecting money. My daughter Emily for a charity in Africa, an orphanage. I was like, really? She's 23 years old. And my daughter Katie, my daughter Rachel, they all give back in their own ways without making a big deal about it, get pledges for races. My daughter just did that one about growing a mustache. I forget what it's called, moustache or something like that. Movember. It was something. I'm just Movember or something. I don't remember. I always mess those things up, but they were, you know, raising money for charities. And that's when you really feel success as a parent. And as an employer, when you see the willingness and the joy and the delight and the agreement to participate, mm-hmm. it's very rewarding to a company owner.
Absolutely.
And we don't want to talk about, you mentioned in the earlier in the show, the biodiesel plant. And I don't think I've been on the show with you since I took a tour of that. That is not for the faint of heart or the detail impaired. Because it is a very, you think, you don't really just turn oil. I'm off on a total tangent, but I wanted to come back to it. You just don't turn French fry grease to something you put in your car.
Didn't happen. And I needed help that day to explain it as well. So
I'm still reeling from it. It's like, okay, I'm trying to act like I get all this and we'd have to go back 10 steps, but it's a very ambitious effort and a major project. So we don't have much time left. What would be your little tiny pearl of wisdom that you give to people that are listening and to corporations, small. I think that's so important that you said small companies. That's the majority of businesses. Mm-hmm. The majority of businesses in our country are not big business.
Right.
They're all the small businesses collectively.
Right. I would say do what touches your own heart because
Perfect.
You have to buy in and others have to buy in. And if they don't buy in, there's a reason why. But, you know, I believe when, you know, collectively we see as people what others are doing, it helps others push themselves.
Pace of the leader, pace of the team. And, you know, I do a lot of reading, and we are tribes. We came from tribes, and we like to be members of tribes. So get involved in a tribe that's about doing good and paying it forward. So as usual, we ran out of time without a deep breath. Okay. Stacy and I never worry about things to talk about. I want to thank all of you for joining me tonight, for everyone who's supportive of the Mrs. Green mission and vision. Have safe holidays. Hug those kids. Hug your family members. Hug a stranger. God bless everybody, and thanks for being a part of Down to Earth with Mrs. Green, Spotlight on the Southwest. And Stacy, thank you for what you do.
Thank you.